Okay, morning everybody on this fine, beautiful, rainy day. It's a pleasure to see the rain coming down. Shepa Bracha. Some people don't like walking in the rain, don't like getting wet. But in this country, one learns to appreciate every drop that comes down. Okay, so this morning we've discussed the halachas of some collection of various halachas, not fitting into one category, but things that have to do with clothing, shoes perhaps. So we'll see. So, let's start with threading shoelaces or any form of a ribbon or a strap or a lace that goes through holes and you make some sort of pattern. But you thread it back and forth and it looks like sewing, whether it's on a dress or whether it's a shoe or even putting a belt into a pair of pants, we'll see. So what's the deal with that on Shabbos? So in some ways, it looks like you're sewing, because you're going back and forth and back and forth, just like you would do with a thread. So is this considered as sewing? Is it considered as much of a patish, but you're finishing up a garment? And the way we look at it is that you need three conditions before you might do it on Shabbos. First of all, the lace had once been put into this garment shoe in advance before Shabbos. And now you're putting it back for the second time or subsequent time. But it's not the first time that's going in. Therefore, there's no problem of metakin mono, of fixing something on the market of patish. Second of all, it's got to go easy. For example, we have pre-made holes and they slide through the hole easily. And third of all, it must be that type of ribbon, lace or thread that you're not going to knot it after you put it in. I remember when we were learning, this with Mahabrusa, like wondering what does it mean to knot a thread at the end after you put it in. Understand, when you sew, so you sew a seam or whatever the case may be, two pieces of material together, and you don't want the sewing to come undone, so you knot it. Whether you sew on a button, you make a knot that doesn't come undone. When you sew a seam, then you pull it out from the sewing machine, you've got the top thread and the bottom thread, and you knot them, or you sew it back and forth in order to make it tight. But where would you find knotting in something that you've threaded through, like in a shoe? And just then we noticed that one of the Avreichim, who sat on the other side of the aisle from us, wore his shoes in the most interesting manner. He obviously did not like shoes being tight around his feet, and therefore he never, ever tied his laces. But he wore shoes with laces, and he left the laces open, and he knotted the end of the laces. He put a single knot at the end of the lace so the lace wouldn't come out from the shoe. And that's how he wore his shoes. He put the lace through, put a knot on the end on one side, put a knot through on the end on the other side, and that's where the laces stayed. But he never ever closed it. It was just fascinating. Like, the only person I know that's ever done such a thing, there he was sitting next to us, and we had a good look at his shoes and said, oh, this is what we're talking about. Where you put a lace or a thread through something, and then you put a knot at the end so that it doesn't come undone. I mean, the same thing you have if you have a pair of exercise pants or something like that that has a band, a strap that goes through the waist, and you knot it when you wear it and then undo it when you take it off. But you don't want the band, the thread, the strap to get caught and go back into the channel where the strap goes through. So you put a knot on the end of the thread, and that way when it gets to the hole, it gets stuck, it goes through. Or you have a hood and you have a thread that goes through the hood. They have a lace. You'll knot the end of the lace so that if it doesn't get pulled too much, or you pull too much on one side, the other side goes through and you can't find it. So you put a knot at the end. That would be a case of something where the normal is to put a knot at the end. And then it's a problem because that becomes Kesher Shekayam, as we spoke about last week, about Ksharim, about knots, and therefore Kesher Shekayam is Asur. And therefore, if you're going to thread something, it must be that type of threading that the norm is not to put a knot at the end. And even here, though you say, remember, Shabbos, I'm not going to do it, we'd say it's still Asur. We're afraid you'll have habitually put it in, and therefore such a thread cannot be used in Shabbos. So again, the three conditions that you need before you thread a lace or a ribbon of sorts. Number one, it can't be done for the very first time. It must be thread. Number two, it must be thread easily without effort. And 3, it mustn't be the type that you put a knot in. Therefore, some practical applications, your shoelace, to put it in for the first time, you can't do. But if it came out or it snapped and you're just moving it because part of it has snapped, but you want to use the remainder, the shorter lace that you remove, you're reusing the existing lace, that will be fine. And that's because A, it's been done before. B, generally shoes have holes that are made to thread through the lace easily, especially if they have those metal rings, the eyelids or something like that, so that they thread even easier. And we don't usually, except for that one avrech who sat over the aisle from us in Koilo, but otherwise generally people do not make a knot at the end of a shoelace when they put it into their shoes. Therefore, you can return a lace to a shoe that came out. To put a new lace into a shoe, even if it's an old shoe, the point is that the lace is new, it's never been put into the shoe before, would be asur. The way that can be done is in case of need, you don't have another pair of shoes, you really need it, is if you would do it in a way that you know that there's no permanence, that you're going to be taking it out very soon and redoing it. An example he gave, that the Shmuel Shabbos gives, is if you use a color lace that you wouldn't be happy leaving in your shoe. So you have a black shoe and you put a pink lace inside, so that perhaps would remind you to take it out afterwards and put it back in again. But when I was reading this, I was laughing to myself because last Shabbos, I had a niece that came round to visit and she was wearing black shoes with pink laces. And I think it wasn't because she had to put them on Shabbos and couldn't take them out Moitzei Shabbos, but that's because that's the style that she wanted to wear. So obviously a black shoe with a pink lace for a girl is nothing out of the ordinary. But for your son, if you took a black shoe with pink laces, chances are he won't even wear them now. But you know for sure that you're going to be taking it out and changing it. So to use a color or a type of lace that sticks out and it's a good reminder that you're not going to do it, you're not going to leave it there, would be fine because it's now permanent. So therefore it has no, you know, market advantage. Obviously you must still have the other condition that it's to put in and you're not going to knot it. Another example would be if you thread it in a way that it's not usually left. For example, shoes have three or four rows of holes and you only use the upper row so that you can just close it. And that's not the normal way. And for sure, Moshe Shabbos, you're going to redo it. So again, if you've done it in a way that clearly it is not going to be left there, and you're for sure going to change it after Shabbos, so then that would be a heter that there's no permanence to it and therefore it's not a problem of back of the patties. If you finished it off, you've done what needs to be done. A elastic band or the sort that is in the edge of a garment to hold it in place, like at the top of a pair of pants, that either tore or came out. That's a case where you cannot put it back. That's a very difficult one to thread back in its place. And therefore, we consider that is Torah. Cloak is what the Isra is with its tearful, with its form of Makim Patish. But whatever it is, we hold that one should not do that on Shabbos. Belts, so we make a difference between those which are made for a particular garment and are left hanging on that garment, and sometimes even if the garment goes in the wash, the belt goes with. So then you got to make sure that you have all the three conditions, that it was once used, was once slotted into its place before. So when you put it in now, it's not the first time you're doing it. It's got to be easy. It's got to be the type you don't make a knot to. Then it will be fine. Otherwise, it would be problematic. Other forms of belts that you go in and out and in and out, like the standard belt that you have, just a spare belt that you put around a garment, in particular, like a men's belt around his pants, would be not a problem whatsoever to use on shops. When buying new garments, there are times when the manufacturer, in order to retain the shape of the garment, or he does it because you have two pieces of the garment that are going to be worn together and you don't want it to get lost. So there are a couple of stitches put in. These stitches are not to make the garment. They're just to hold it during transport or from place to place. It's interesting. It seemed like there were times, and we see similar things today, a shoemaker would sew two shoes together. So you know which one was the right and which one was the left, or what size they were. You see it sometimes, you go to the shoe store and they have a plastic ring that they put to hold the right and the left together. You have it in suits where the pockets are sewn closed in order to hold them, in order to hold the form of the garment. So essentially, that type of stitching, A, it is not a Tsurisho Kayama. It has no permanence. The manufacturer, the tailor, or whoever it is that put them in, that as soon as it gets to you, you're going to take them out. And he's obviously hoping that it gets to you as soon as possible, so they can make more and sell more. So he has no thoughts of permanency or whatsoever. So it's a Tsurisho Enosho Kayama. And a Tsurisho Enosho Kayama, you can take out their kilku as long as it's not a korea manaslit for it. It's not a tearing in order to make it, to re-sew it. So then you've got the Enosho Kayama, and you've got it's a derek kilku, it's a destructive way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But then it can be done. There's a big machlokas in the basket, whether the idea of Enosho Kayama, it hasn't got permanence, is something to factor in when it comes to tefillah, when it comes to sewing. We know that, as we discussed last week, that when it comes to knots, this is the main factor between deciding whether a knot is mutar or asur, is basically on its permanence. A permanent knot becomes something that's asur midoraisa, and something that's not permanent at all becomes mutar in gansu. Half permanent becomes drabonon, but the permanence of a knot decides its fate. And when it comes to sewing, toifer, there are opinions that discuss whether it makes a difference or not. And because it's a machlokas, we try not to rely on such a thing. Also, we have an interesting expression. When we are matirit, over here we say, ve'ein lahatir b'fnei am ha'aretz, not to do such a thing in front of someone who's unlearned, because he will jump to the wrong conclusion. You undo sewing. So undo sewing is permitted on Shabbos. Whereas really, you're undoing it because it's a Tsurisho Enosho Kayama, and he doesn't know the difference. Therefore, use an expression here of Ein Lahatir b'fnei am ha'aretz. And therefore, generally speaking, such items that are sewn closed, even though the sewing is not permanent and it's only done just for delivery purposes, nevertheless, in time of need, it can be done, but it should preferably be removed before Shabbos. If it's just that plastic little type of clip that they use, you know, you buy a pack of socks and they put that plastic, I don't even know if it has a name, some sort of clip of some sort. So that's not even a tefira. It just goes through the socks once because it has the right angle at the top, so it holds it from coming out. That's not a problem. You can cut that on Shabbos without a problem. So too, if you're opening, say, a shirt, a new shirt that came out of a package and it's got clips and pins and all sorts of things that hold folds in place. Now you want to undo it. There's no problem to take all those pins out on Shabbos, wear the shirt. Basting thread or pins that were put in for the same purpose. In other words, you pin up or you do a rough sort of sewing on a garment in advance before you do the final sewing. And then after you've sewn it, so you remove the pins, you remove the basting thread. If that has not been removed before Shabbos, you cannot remove it on Shabbos. That's a part of the sewing process. That's not something that was done after the garment was finished. And now it's just done for the sake of transport, but rather this is part of the sewing process. And the end of the process is to take out the basting thread or the extra pins or something like that. So you hemmed up a skirt with pins and then sewed it and forgot to take the pins out, so those pins cannot be removed on Shabbos. That's all part of the sewing process in terms of making the package, the end malacha in of preparing this hem. So too, if there's fibers that are leftover fibers that are stuck to a garment, would also be a problem of taking them out because it's all part of the end of preparing the garment. Even if the garment can be worn as is, that doesn't mean the garment is finished. This is still a process of finishing the garment. When it comes to, when we spoke about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whenever it was, about cleaning garments, so we spoke about the difference between makbid and ena makbid. So if you can wear it as is, then you're not makbid on the dirt, so then cleaning it is not really making it wearable again. So that would be a time to be maker when it comes to cleaning. But when it comes to makbid patish, the fact that you would wear it with this stuff hanging on it is not a proof of the fact that it's unfinished. And therefore, finishing off by cutting off the edges of threads and the stuff that's hanging out would be problematic on Shabbos. So too, if your tailor put a chalk mark on the garment, it would be also to remove that chalk mark. When you have a weave, and when you have a weave on Shabbos, you may not undo the weave. not the chassis from the Erev and not the Erev from the chassis, the crisscross of threads. A typical example of this would be if you have, for example, a gauze. Very often gauze is made of a very simple weave with no knot or anything that holds it in place. Very often the edge threads will start sticking out, so to pull at them and remove them will be also in Shabbos. Bandages, sometimes you have cloth band-aids, have it on David Pratt, and you have what they call it, something like masking tape or sellotape that has a cloth backing to it. Very often you have, it's just a weave, and the glue of the sellotape holds it together, but sometimes the string will stick out the side, so to pull at a single thread, and to pull it out of the weave would be also on Shabbos. If you have a seam in your clothing that's loose, and you see the edge of the thread, and you pull it, and that closes the gap, and tightens the sewing, that would be also to do on Shabbos. One may not pull at the threads in order to close up, to tighten, to fix it in place. So too, if you have a button that's coming loose and you want to pull the thread, which will then affix the button better, that also is all part of Tofer and Shabbos and should not be done. If you have a button that's hanging on its last thread and it's loose, do not pull at it. You cannot detach it on Shabbos. It's also asur with the rear. And if it did fall, and now you've got a few of those threads just hanging, and you want to pull them out, that would also be a problem of pulling them out from Shabbos. The button itself is a machlokes, whether it's mukta or not. Generally speaking, buttons, stem buttons you have in your button bag or button box, one should not move them on Shabbos, one should treat them as mukta. A button that was on a garment and fell off the garment on Shabbos, there's a tzaddik to say that it's not mukta. They use it from, they learn this from a different example. We have dalsus okelim nitlim imohim. If you have utensils that have a lid that's attached or a door that's attached, and the door becomes detached on Shabbos because it belonged to a larger system, a kli that had a door, and the whole kli is usable on Shabbos, so too the door is always considered non-mukta even when it becomes detached because you're going to put it back on again. So the same swara they want to use, the same logic they want to apply to a button, that a button that was on a garment is bottled to the garment, and just like the garment is not mukta, so all the buttons in your garment are not mukta. So when it falls off, it retains its non-mukta status. There's a tzad to say that. However, there are those who hold that no, right now it's useless, even though it's going to go back onto the garment, but right now it's useless, there's nothing you can do with it, it's just a plain button, and therefore if you can avoid moving it on Shabbos in ways that's considered tilfum mukta, meaning to kick it, wouldn't be a problem because that's tilfum and atzad, the type of moving mukta that we allow on Shabbos, tilfum gufa, tilfum atzad, you move it with something else, or you move it with a kila achayadni with your foot without your hand, it'll be fine. So you're ensuring your button falls off. You want to kick it under a chair or kick it under into a corner, so you know when you come with the Shabbos it'll still be there. That you can do, but preferably you should not pick it up and take it with you. If you have a garment that has buttons that are loose, they're just about to fall off, then it is advisable not to wear such a garment outside in the Rosh Hashanah, in a place where you can't carry it, and you're afraid they should fall off and you can look at you. If you have a garment that is a little wide and you want to attach a pin, safety pin of some sort in order to adjust it, you want to adjust it and make it narrower, one may do so on Shabbos. So too, if you have a button that fell off and you want to use a safety pin in place of the button, or where a button should be and the manufacturer disagrees with you about where the top button should be and you want to put one in, and you want to use a safety pin, all this is permitted on Shabbos to use it, and the pin is just done to hold it temporarily in place. But like anything else, we want to make sure that you don't do it in a way that's considered as sewing, and therefore you should do it in a way that the pin does not go through the garment too many times. What I mean by that is that we paskin legabe tefira, legabe sewing, that to put a thread through once has no kiyum, to put it through twice still has no kiyum, to put it through three times, it already has kiyum, without can hold, without any assistance. Put something through, in, out, and in again, is considered asur on Shabbos, or to do twice and put a knot on the end. So twice with a knot, or three times without a knot, is what's asur in sewing. The question is a safety pin. What does it get the din? Does it get the din of something with a knot at the end? Because array is closed. It once you close the safety pin, it cannot come out. So you treat that as something that's closed in the end, and we preferably do say that we treat it as something like that, and therefore a safety pin should not be put through the garment twice, in and then out, rather in and then close it.
Now, I'll ask you, is there an issue? Does it make a difference if it stays there for a long period of time?
I didn't see a difference. I think once it's not a problem of tefillah, then it's mutter to do, and therefore the permanence is irrelevant because the actual mitzvah that you're doing is not a mitzvah tefillah. It's not an act of sewing, and therefore permanence has no effect.
So like you have, as you're saying with the button, you say go, if you want to put in place of a button, so you're really holding two pieces of material together. So going in once to both materials is considered going in once?
Correct. So that would mean that if you have a garment that you're adjusting its size and you put it through once and you adjust its size and now you leave it like that would be permitted on Shabbos. Another interesting halacha with garments is putting stuffing into something, meaning you have a pillow and it has stuffing, whether it's feathers or artificial microfibers or whatever it is, cotton wool, whatever they're using, straw in the olden days, whatever you're putting inside. So it can only be returned to a place that was done before, but you can't put it in for the first time. So if you have a new pillowcase that needs to be filled with stuffing, you cannot do that on Shabbos. But if it's a pillowcase that burst open and something came out, you can put everything back in. And the problem is you've got to be careful not to sew the hole closed. And obviously sewing would be awesome if it had a zip on the side and the zip opened and the stuffing came out. You can put it in, close the zip. It's not a problem. Actually, from this halacha, there's a whole discussion as to whether you can blow up a balloon on Shabbos. On a balloon, there's two problems. First of all, there's a problem of makor b'katish. This is the first time you blow a balloon, you're stretching the rubber material. So the second time it's different. And the other question is whether you're stuffing something for the first time, whether you're placing the filling inside for the first time or not. And you have, for example, like a beach ball or the water toys that you use in the swimming pool, whether it's an inflatable mattress or anything like that, can you inflate them for the first time or what can you inflate them for the second time? We discuss it from the Sanocha, and there are those who are makel that from the second time onwards it's permitted. Every time you're putting in different air, whereas before we said you've got to put back the same feathers. So there are plum zaman as far as air is air, if you put it back. Once it's been inflated once, inflated the second time. Static electricity is also a form of electricity. And if you're making sparks and you want to make a fire with it, then it would be also to use that on Shabbos. And therefore, it was forbidden to make a fire on Shabbos. Even if you didn't have matches, you're using a flintstone and you're grinding them together and you're causing sparks to come out. And that way you're making a fire. That's the way Adam Arishon made fire. It wasn't until sulfur matches invented that this was how fire was started. That is also on Shabbos. So what about the fact that you have those polyester pajamas that you pull over your head on a Friday night, then you only hear click, 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 and because it's dry and there is a lot of static electricity and you see the sparks. So what's the din with that on Shabbos? That you see from Shabbos brings it from the Zalman and from the Sicilias and others, that there's two reasons to be matir it. First of all, it's double shem miskaven. It's not always for sure it's going to happen. Yes, it happens often, but not sure it's going to happen. It's not a stresha. And second of all, you're not interested you're not interested in the difference. What Adam Arishon was doing when he wrapped those two stones together on the first Moshiach Shabbos, he wanted the sparks, he wanted the fire. Here, we don't want the fire, we're not interested in the sparks, it has no purpose for us. Therefore, you don't have to avoid wearing synthetic fibers in a dry climate because there's a possibility of static electricity building and having sparks. If you have a run in your tights, you cannot rub them with soap or put nail polish on it to stop the ladder going any further. And the use of a zip on Shabbos. One may use a zip on Shabbos, put something in, you may take something out. Rav Noivid is matir to put in a lining to your coat. There are those who want to say that if the type of lining that you put in at the beginning of the winter and then 3 months later you take it out again, so it has a certain amount of permanence, and you leave it there, then there would be a possibility of of Topher over here that you're making a patish perhaps. He's matter, he says you can put your coat lining in and take it out. It works with a zipper. There's no problem of putting it in or taking it out. If a zip jams, so you can work on it to get the jam out, like it's got caught in some cloth, you can pull the cloth through. If it has a thread that got caught in it, you can pull the thread out. But if it's actually broken and you need to re-thread it or redo it, and there's a fixing that needs to be done, then that you cannot do on Shabbos. You cannot fix a zip that has come apart and broken. But if it got stuck, so then you can take it, then that's not considered as fixing. One other thing I want to mention for today, and we'll hold it there for this week, is wearing a coat with the lining on the inside, even in Rosh Hashanah, is not a problem. It's not considered as carrying, and you may wear your coat with the lining put in on traps. And with that, we'll hold it here for this week, wishing everybody a wonderful week, and stay healthy in the hopeful weather.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.